Death Patrol. As we moved toward the smaller lobster claw, Snafu chanted, "Oh, them mortar shells are busting up that old gang of mine," to the tune of "Those wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine." We halted frequently to rest briefly and to keep down the number of cases of heat prostration. Although not heavy, my pack felt like a steaming hot wet compress on my shoulders and upper back. We were sopping wet with sweat, and at night or during a halt in the shade, our dungarees dried out a bit. When they did, heavy white lines of fine powdery salt formed, as though drawn by chalk along the shoulders, waist, and so on. Later, as the campaign dragged on and our dungarees caked with coral dust, they felt like canvas instead of soft cotton. I carried a little Gideon's New Testament in my breast pocket, and it stayed soaked with sweat during the early days. The Japanese carried their personal photos and other papers in waterproof green rubber pocket-sized folding bags. I liberated one such bag from a corpse and used it as a covering for my New Testament. The little Bible went all the way through Okinawa's rains and mud with me, snug in its captured cover. During one halt along a sandy road in the woods, we heard the words, "Hot chow," passed. "The hell you say?" someone said in disbelief. "Straight dope, pork chops." We couldn't believe it, but it was true. We filed past a cylindrical metal container, and each of us received a hot, delicious pork chop. The chow had been sent ashore for Company K by the crew of LST-661. I vowed, if the chance ever came, I would express my thanks to those sailors for that chow. I fulfilled that vow in July 1945, after the battle for Okinawa ended. As we sat along the road eating pork chops with our fingers, a friend sitting on his helmet next to me began to examine a Japanese pistol he had captured. Suddenly, the pistol fired. He toppled over on his back, but sprang up immediately, holding his hand to his forehead. Several men hit the deck, and we all ducked at the sound of the shot. I had seen what happened, but ducked instinctively, with an already well-developed conditioned reflex. I stood up and looked at the man's face. The bullet merely had creased his forehead. He was lucky. When the other men realized he wasn't hurt, they really began to kid him unmercifully. Typical comments went something like, "Hey, old buddy, I always knew you had a hard head, but I didn't know slugs would bounce off of it." "You don't need a helmet except to sit on when we take 10. "You're too young to handle dangerous weapons." "Some people will do anything to get a Purple Heart." "Is this the sort of thing you used to do to attract your mother's attention?" He rubbed his forehead, embarrassed, and mumbled, "Ah, knock it off." We moved along a causeway and finally halted on the edge of a swamp, where the company deployed and dug in for the night. Things were fairly quiet. The next morning, the company swung south, pushing through the heavy growth behind a mortar and artillery barrage. We killed a few Japanese throughout the area. Late in the day, Company K deployed again for the night. The following day, Company K received a mission to push a strong combat patrol to the east coast of the island. Our orders were to move through the thick growth onto the peninsula that formed the smaller claw, and set up a defensive position at the northern tip of the landmass on the edge of a mangrove swamp. Our orders didn't specify the number of days we were to remain there. First Lieutenant Hillbilly Jones commanded the patrol, consisting of about 40 Marines plus a war dog, a Doberman Pinscher. Sergeant Henry Hank Boys was the senior NCO. As with all combat patrols, we were heavily armed with rifles and BARs. We also had a couple of machine gun squads and the mortar squad with us. Never missing an opportunity to get into the action with his cold steel, Sergeant Haney volunteered to go along.